Welcome to this week's episode of True Podcast. I'm your host, Rhea.
And I'm Alex.
And this week, we are continuing the podcast we started last week with the ranking system of the Avengers movies. This week, we are finishing with phase three, 11 movies in total in that phase. So it's quite a lot to get through. I hope you guys were interested last week so that hopefully you tuned in this week. But before we get to that, let's do our week updates. So Alex, how was your week?
So it's been good. So my big thing, which is a really big announcement for me, not the announcement you're going to be thinking of either. It's not anything that I've told you about yet. So it's actually pretty interesting. So yeah, I could see it in your eyes already. They're just like, what is going on here?
Go on.
So here's the thing, right? Obviously, I've talked about before how I've had this whole saga with my car registration.
Shut up. Just wait. Okay.
It's been just like the biggest headache. So like if you're just tuning in now and never heard me talk about this before. So back in May, basically end of May of 2020, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's 2020, but I think the end of May, I bought a car. So I financed a car, which was really cool for me just because I've always had older cars and, you know, I just wanted something new. But so the thing was, is that when the dealership submitted my information to the DMV, somewhere along that line, they copy and pasted my last name into my last name. So it was the most atrocious thing on my registration. What last name on earth starts with two W's? I ask you. Who thought that that was okay? Who approved this? But anyway, so like for a little over a year now, I've been trying to get this fixed to no avail. The dealership is no help. The bank that I'm, you know, financing with is no help. So like, and also the quarantine was happening, so you can't go anywhere really to try to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy for people to like brush you off when it's on the phone or over email.
Mm-hmm.
But and then also like one really other annoying part is that like right now when things opening up more, the DMV, they're really trying to schedule all their appointments like basically through self-service stuff online. Like they don't really want you to come in, which makes sense. Like a lot of places don't want you to come in right now and that's whatever. But at the same time, like I really wish that my problem was a cookie cutter problem that I could just deal with self-service because I would have done it by now.
Right.
But that's not how it works. Like I was trying to like, it's impossible to call them and try to talk to someone. Like you just get, you know, some AI nonsense
mm-hmm. That's
rerouting you a bunch of different ways, ultimately telling you to like make an appointment online or like talk with their, you know, AI chat room online, which is not even a person either. But anyway, so I'd given up for a little bit. But then now that my mom is, you know, on vacation from school and whatever, she's like, okay, let's just go to AAA together because you have to renew your registration anyway. And we'll just try to talk to them about like what you can do because like the cool part, I don't know, you know, for people who don't have AAA might not know this, but like for the AAA members, like there's actually like DMV people in there.
Yeah.
Like when you're taking care of automotive stuff, like you could actually do DMV things in there. So that's really nice. I mean, not everything obviously, but like things with registration and stuff you can do. So went there today and didn't have to wait too long. Got there and just kind of like, well, one, I need to renew my registration.
Mm-hmm.
But two, as you can see on, you know, this letter about registration that was addressed to me, this really heinous mistake has been made on the title, blah, blah, blah. You know, what were to happen? Because my whole thing is that I just want to pay this car off.
Right.
Like I've just been waiting. Like I just want it all done because I'm over it. But I've been afraid that if I pay off the money and get the title, that it's gonna be a huge pain to get my name fixed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, just informational point to everyone here for AAA members, that actually if you have the title, it's very easy to change your name on it.
Okay, that's really good to know.
So yes, the woman said it just like, yeah. Go ahead and pay off the car. And then once you get the title, just bring it over and we'll fix it.
Oh, easy peasy. So just do that.
So yeah, I went home today.
Paid off
my car.
Amazing. That's awesome. So next week you should come back and say it's officially correct on the title, my name.
Man, I hope so. if it depends on how quickly they send it over, but I'm just kind of like, as soon as physically possible, as soon as I'm getting that title, I am running over to the
Literally.
nearest AAA and be like, please fix this so I could just be done with it. This thing that's been
Amazing.
hanging over my head for a little bit over a year now, I'll just be done.
That is very exciting news, Alex. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, so that really happened this afternoon. So I'm just kind of like, I haven't had a chance to tell you about it yet, but I'm just like, where better to announce this than on the
Then
podcast?
on the podcast, exactly.
All right.
Amazing, Alex.
So how's your week been?
My week's been okay. I haven't done much. I'm mainly just kind of trying to pass the time doing little things here and there for funsies because it's unfortunate where my work year ends right as my school semester begins. So I don't really have a
Right.
lot of time in between to just kind of like relax, but it's fine. I have been trying to do like little things here and there. I watched a few movies. I made my mom watch Cruella with me, the new Disney movie, and we are actually going to be doing a podcast on that next week. So
Yeah.
stay tuned. Watch that. I've also been trying to watch just other movies and TV shows that people have recommended to me. So I am potentially open to recommendations. Hit me up on Instagram. Potentially, I'm saying potentially. But yeah, nothing really super exciting. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to be learning how to play golf with
All
my
right.
boss. So hopefully that goes well because the last time I played golf, it was atrocious. It was a situation where like I would hit the ball and miss it, or I'd hit the ball and it'd go backwards, or I'd hit the ball and it would go sideways. And then finally, like I hit the ball and it went forward. And then like a hundred, not 100 feet away, like maybe 50 feet away, there was like a tiny little like electrical box. And I managed to perfectly hit that electrical box and the ball came ricocheting back at me. So
Oh.
overall, my experience with golf has been frustrating and not fun. So I'm hoping that that will not be the case and I will enjoy it because golf is something that I do feel like I would enjoy and I do want to get into. So hopefully, I'll keep you guys updated on my golf saga. And yeah, and then lastly, me and Aaron, my husband, have been rereading The Hunger Games. Well, I've been rereading The Hunger Games because he's never read them. And so we just finished the first one and I forgot how amazing it was. And we just started the second one. And I just like, man, I just appreciate a good book, a good easy read, because The Hunger Games is not like a difficult read. It's stuff, it's like a, you know, it's like a teen level reading,
Yeah.
but it's just the storyline is so freaking good and it makes you really empathize with the characters. And I just love it. I can't like recommend this book series more because like, and it holds up because I remember I really liked the Twilight series when I was in like high school, and then I read it again as an adult and I was like, this is a problematic story. Like I
Yeah.
was like, it does not really hold up. So I'm happy to see that The Hunger Games definitely does. And then lastly, I know I said lastly before this, but lastly for real, I've had this ongoing feud with, and you know this, Alex, with Audible.
Oh,
Because I
huh?
had this issue where you pay for the subscription, but then you only get one credit for one book a month, and then you have to wait a whole month to get another credit, right? So then my husband found this loophole where you can return the book that you spent the credit on, and then you can get the credit back to like get another book, right? So I had been using this to read or listen to the Harry Potter series because I'd actually never finished all the books myself. And I was returning the books, da 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 da. And then I get to the sixth book and I tried to return, well, I tried to return the fifth book and it was like, oh, you can't return it. You have to call this number. So I called the number. I was like, hey, like, I'm not able to return this book. Can you return it for me? And so he did. And I listened to the book. And then afterwards, I tried to return it and it was just like, oh, you've returned too many books. There's been a block on your account for returning books. And I'm like, why does that matter? And then I started reading like the terms and conditions or whatever, and they're basically saying like you can't return an excessive amount of books because like it's this service is not meant, basically it's not meant to be like a streaming service. It's meant to be like a bookstore. So it's like you get one book a month, the end. It's not like a you finish your book, you get another one. And I think that that's so stupid because why would I want that? Like, if I'm reading a book and I finish it, I want to get another book, you know? Like, I don't want to wait a whole month. What's the point of that?
You know what's really interesting about that to me? First of all, that is very frustrating. That's really dumb. And then secondly, just a little bit side note for those who are only listening on like podcast platforms and not watching on YouTube. So I would just peek on this whole thing with YouTube because we all gesticulate. That's a thing, right? So, you know, moving your hands around when you're talking. But Drea, which has been telling this audible story, she's just been waving around this clothes hanger. It's really funny to watch.
Because it was sitting here next to me and I just started grabbing it, and then as I'm moving my hands, the hanger is going with it.
And your aggression that you're feeling over this whole audible thing, like you're just waving around this hanger. But anyway, so my follow-up question to that though is, Audible is done through Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting to me actually that they're set up that way. And I remember when you were having this specific problem with, like, before you knew that you could return books, because I was there when you were Aaron was figuring out the whole things. I definitely remember that part. But like, and I said this to you then too, that it's so weird because like Kindle Unlimited, for example, you can check out 10 books at a time and then return them.
Yeah.
And then check out another 10 books without limit.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the unlimited part of it. But I'm just kind of like, why would you not make that uniform across your different services? Like, I don't understand that.
I have no idea. And it's so stupid. So basically I canceled my subscription to like the whatever service they had. And so Aaron found me another loophole, which isn't necessarily a financially effective loophole, but it's a loophole nonetheless, where you don't need to have a subscription, but you can buy the actual Audible book through Amazon, but you can't. So you can't go onto the Amazon app. You have to go onto an actual browser and purchase the Audible book on your Amazon account, and then it'll show up in your Audible library, and then you can listen to it there. And so it's like really annoying because I'm just like, why the hell can't I just pay like Netflix? Why can't I just pay a flat fee and then get a book whenever I want and return it whenever I want? Like, why do I have to pay for all the books separately? Like, it seems stupid to me. But whatever, I paid for the last book, so I'm listening to it now. But,
I mean, I guess the good thing in there, though, is that you're able to get up till the last book.
Before this issue happened.
Right, yeah.
I agree with you, but it's overall just been a frustrating encounter with this Audible service. So anyone interested in Audible, here's my pitch to not get it. But anyway, so that being said, let's move into the bulk of this podcast, which is ranking our favorite to the or least to favorite movies in the phase 3 section of the Avengers universe.
All right, so phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, buckle up, settle in, because it's a long list. All right, so we got Captain America Civil War, which came out in 2016, Doctor Strange, which also came out in 2016, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which came out in 2017. I don't know how it's possible it came out that year, because like, it doesn't feel that old, but whatever.
Yeah.
Then Spider-Man Homecoming, 2017, Thor Ragnarok, 2017, Black Panther in 2018, Avengers Infinity War, 2018, Ant-Man and the Wasp, 2018, Captain Marvel, 2019, Avengers Endgame, 2019, and then Spider-Man Far From Home, 2019. All right, I want to hear yours first.
Okay, let's go through this one quickly because there's so many and we are already like going over an hour here. But hot take. In my 11th spot, don't kill me.
Okay.
I have Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
What? What is this nonsense?
It just goes to like my whole rewatchability factor. I feel like this one's a tough one to rewatch specifically because of the tragedy in the end with what's his face dying. What's his name? The guy, the blue guy with the little whistle. Oh. And arrow.
Shoot.
I forget.
I can't remember his name is either.
Well, you know, like the whole, it's so sad to me because the whole movie is Quill trying to find his dad, and he does find his dad, but then he kind of realizes, and he's like trying to, like create this bond with him, but then in the process realizes that his real dad, like, his chosen dad was what's his face the entire time, who he thought was his captor, but in reality it really was like his dad. And then ultimately at the end, he like sacrifices his life for him, and I'm like, F that, dude. I am not here for the tears. I can't rewatch it.
You're right. That is an unfortunate one. And I do have complicated feelings about that one as well. But
Yeah,
my
it's
feelings on others are more complicated. So
okay. Well,
I cannot agree with you.
that's fair. And I just wanted to preface really fast that all this whole phase, I don't think any of them are bad movies. So I'm just ranking them on what I think is the more enjoyable for me.
Right.
So
And I
that being
think that's
said.
a that's a good preface because I will say that mine, just in general, are rated by, what I personally prefer, what's enjoyable to me, but especially in phase three, because I feel like I have quite a few hot takes in phase three. So my bottom one at number 11, which should be no surprise to anyone who knows me that well, because I am not quiet about how I feel about this movie, is Captain America: Civil War.
Okay, go on.
I will say that out of all Marvel movies, I think I just like this one the most.
Really?
And I will say because it's only because to me, superheroes
Shouldn't fight.
that shouldn't fight each other. If you're on the same side, then be on the same side. Don't let it get so far that literally becomes a civil war. Like the whole thing, like towards the end, where, like Captain America's just like, I'm sorry, Tony, he's my friend. And then Tony's just like, so was I.
Yeah, that part's messed up. I agree with you
That
100%.
epitomizes the problem to me. I'm just kind of like, it didn't have to get this far.
Captain America sucks.
Well, yeah, Captain America sucks. I think that there was a lot of just interest in the movie because of the whole like Bucky thing and, the powers that be, whatever. I just, on principle, dislike this entire movie. I also don't really like Captain America, so there's that as well. But I'm just kind of like, this makes me so mad. It precipitates so much annoying things to me. Well, it's the worst. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate when friends are fighting each other when they shouldn't be. So on that basis alone, that's my number 11. Let's hear your
Okay,
number 10.
that's fair. Okay, my number 10 hot take for me personally, Ant-Man and the Wasp,
I'm here for it.
which
Okay.
is really funny because I just talked about how I love Ant-Man so much, and I really do. I stand by that. I love Ant-Man a lot. However, I have an issue with this movie because I don't like the villain. I don't like how
Oh.
they created her. I think that this whole like move that Marvel is doing where they're kind of like making the villain bad but not really making them bad is annoying to me. You know what I mean? Like how the villain in this one, she's not necessarily like doing this because she wants to inflict evil. She's doing this because she's suffering and like she has led a life of like pain and whatever. Which is fine, but I don't know. Like, I just love to hate a villain, and I don't feel like I can do that in this movie. So that's my number 10. What's yours?
I respect it. This might be a hot take. Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see. My number 10 is Spider-Man Homecoming. Hot take. It was a hot take from
Excuse
her
me?
face. It's a hot take.
Excuse me? And please explain yourself.
Literally, it's there because, like, it was the most whatever movie I feel like I've ever seen. It does nothing
Okay.
for me at all. It really does nothing for me at all. Like, I watched it, and like, out of this list, I feel like it's the one which the plot I remember the least, just because I was like in the movie, just kind of like, I'm over it. Like, it's lost my attention.
Okay.
I don't hate its sequel. Actually, I really liked Far From Home. It's a lot higher on my list for sure. But for it just wasn't a strong introduction for me.
And I'm not going to combat it because I will save my points for when I rank that one on my list.
Right. So
But
let's see your number
thank
10
you.
then.
My number 10 was Ant-Man and the Wasp. My number
All right,
nine,
sorry.
you're good, is Captain Marvel. And I liked this one. I thought it was, like I said, I liked all of the ones in this phase. I liked this one, but I don't know. Like, it was just kind of like there was something about it that wasn't super exciting to me. I really liked bringing in, what were they called? Like the Skrulls. And I liked seeing the backstory to Nick Fury. And it was kind of cool to see like how she's like the powerhouse of the Avengers and like why. That was cool. But there, like I said, it was just, I don't know. I don't really have a reason, but there was just something lackluster about it to me. So that's my number nine. How about you?
So my number nine, this is a hot take for sure.
Oh no.
Is Avengers Infinity War.
Okay, I can respect that. Go on, explain.
So the reason why I have it ranked so low is because much in the same vein as I don't like when superheroes are fighting each other. In the snap, you kill off all the superheroes. Like half of the superheroes and half of the world's population. And it hurts.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there and literally in the theater when it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's so horrible. So, you know, towards the end of the snap, I think maybe the last like victim of the snap that they show, I think is actually Spider-Man, right? So we're there, right? And he's starting to disappear and Tony's just like, oh no. And in a really gut-wrenching moment, and Tom Holland plays this so well, but he's like begging not to go. He's so afraid of what's happening to him. And like, you know, as a fellow human being, like maybe some maternal instincts kicking in, I don't know, but I'm just kind of like, I was sitting there crying, like watching, because to me, it's not even like that he's a superhero anymore. I'm watching him and he's a child, a child who's in trouble, who's afraid, and you just like want to hug him.
Yeah.
You know, you want to tell him it's all going to be okay, which obviously at that point, you know, it's going to be okay ultimately because everyone's going to be super mad if everyone stays dead.
Yeah.
But it was super upsetting to watch.
100%.
Like all these people that you had grown to care about after all these years, even though I didn't like the first Spider-Man movie that much, and that's fine, but I'm just kind of like, it was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
And that's why it places so low for me. I can't even rewatch it. I cannot rewatch that movie.
That's funny. Yeah, well, Alex, I placed Infinity War at my number eight, actually. So I'm right there with you. I agree with you. It's, I think it's tough when you do two-parters, like part one, part two. I don't think there's ever been a person who's just like, oh, yeah, part one's so good. Like, it's impossible. Like, if you're going to watch a combination, like a two-part movie, you're always going to watch the second part because you want to see how it's finalized. And the first part is, like, painful because it gets you to a midway point. It's like a cliffhanger in like a 2.5 hour movie that you've committed to, you know? So for that reason, I placed it at my number eight spot. I think it's a great movie. I think that, like you said, like the acting is amazing, but it's just not that rewatchable for me. So number eight, what's your number eight?
My number eight, which is one that was previously brought up. So it's not really, you know, going to be that much a point of contention, is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
So, like, it's all the things that the first movie was, but even more, like, meme-y to me. So, like, that wasn't entirely strong. And then also, I, like you said, I didn't feel like the villain was particularly compelling. I like that we got to bring in Michelle Pfeiffer as, you know, What's-Her-Face's mom. That was pretty cool.
The original Wasp.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of like, that didn't really do a ton for me. It was still, at least its redeeming qualities were that it was funny. So that's nice, but ultimately nothing to write home about. All right, what's your next one?
Well, funny you say write home about, because my next one is Spider-Man Far From Home, which is funny because I love the Spider-Mans. And I do think this one's a good movie and I really like it a lot, but it's just not one of my absolute favorites. I think it's really good. I love Tom Holland. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I really like a lot of things that happen in this movie, and I don't know. I don't really know why I rated it here, but it's just kind of like, it just felt like right. Cause I just feel like the ones that I'm going to rate after this, I just enjoy more. So that's literally all I have to say about it. Like, it's not even that I don't like it.
All right. So my number seven here is actually Captain Marvel. So one that you've already said. So good to know that at least we have our bottom pretty well aligned. But so for me, Captain Marvel, yes, like you were saying, it was really cool getting to see like some of the origin stuff for Nick Fury. The Skrulls were pretty cool. That's all nice. However, I found her character to be very arrogant in a way that wasn't enjoyable to watch for me. Like, I just didn't enjoy her much as a character. Like, I'm in any of like her appearances in, you know, the Marvel universe, I just haven't really enjoyed Captain Marvel. It's just, it's not that strong of a movie to me, but it's also not the worst movie on the list. I don't really feel the need to rewatch it. It kind of just was.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of just was. Okay, so my number six, and from here on out, it's hard for me to rate them all. Literally, all of these, it's just like they're right in there with each other. So shocking to the crowd. My number six is Thor Ragnarok.
Really?
Yeah, so I love this movie. I think it's the funniest of all the Thors. I love Bruce Banner, Mark Ruffalo in this movie. I think it's so great. I love the Valkyrie. I've dressed up as a Valkyrie for Halloween before. This is my favorite Thor version. I think he's the hottest in this one. It's a fantastic. I love the freaking what's his face? Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
I think he's the Grandmaster. I think he's
Yeah.
so freaking good. And like I said, like from here on out, all of my ratings are just right in there with each other. And at this point, it's just kind of like, what is the most rewatchable movie for me?
Right. Yeah. That's true. All right. So my number six is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So I'm not to the point yet in my list where I say that, like, this is my middle pack right here, probably until number five is what I'll say. Like, it just was kind of whatever for me. Not really super enjoyable, but just kind of like, yeah, it was. So six, Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it's so low because I really did hate the parts with, you know, the guy dying, like you were saying, which I'm sure that after we record this, I'm gonna remember his name. I'm gonna be so annoyed. I think
Literally.
his name ends in Doe, I think. It's
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Hondo? No.
Oh, yeah, you're hold on. It's something like that, but continue talking and I'll look it up.
Anyway, so like, don't like him dying. That hurts, especially since like he's a pretty good surrogate father. And then Quill's actual father, that's a really annoying part of the storyline. Don't really like it. But there's a lot of really funny gags in there that I just, it's amazing. Like the whole thing with the fruits not ripe yet. Yondu, that's
Yeah,
it.
Yondu.
You're right, Yondu. Something, I knew there was a vowel at the end there. But anyway, so yeah, Yondu dying was sad. I really liked the running gags that they had going through there. I mean, ultimately, it placed as high as it did out of respect for how much I liked the first movie, much the same as how I rated, you know, The Dark World so high. But, you know, ultimately, it's kind of just whatever, though. It's not that great of a movie to me. I'm not gonna like fight for it or anything. So that's still middle of the pack for me. All right, so what's your number five?
Okay, my number five is Black Panther, which
Really?
I wish it could be higher, but like I said, it's just what is most rewatchable for me at this point. I love Black Panther. I think that the villain Killmonger is probably one of my favorite villains in any movie. And it kind of negates my point earlier with the whole Ant-Man and the Wasp and how they made the villain kind of like bad, but not really bad because it's just kind of a product of her upbringing and da 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 da. Because that could be said exactly about Killmonger too. Like he's kind of this anti-hero who's bad. But is he really bad? He just has a different view of the world and he's not necessarily trying to inflict harm or evil onto people. It's more of he's just trying to like level the playing field for the rest of the world and like for other communities. So I get it, but sorry about it. I like him. Like I know my rationale doesn't really make sense, but I just think that he's such a compelling character and so likable. And I really
is.
love Chadwick Boseman. Ugh, RIP. I think this movie is phenomenal. I think it's amazing in every single way. The soundtrack in this movie is probably one of my favorite soundtracks in any Marvel movie. And it's great. I just put it at this spot because I think I watched the other movies on my list more than I watch this one.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. At least I like your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. So my number five, which to me is still in the kind of whatever part of the middle pack, is actually Spider-Man Far From Home. So this, you know, is five places above its original, you know, counterpart here. So like it's the sequel did pretty well for me.
Right.
I enjoyed it. And that's really it. Like, it wasn't like super deep for me, but I did have a good time watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like all that I really have to say about it. I like Jake Gyllenhaal, so I'm just kind of like, you know, sure, this is pretty good. And then I really actually kind of liked the whole dynamic of, you know, Peter trying to, you know, become a better hero because of the legacy that Iron Man, you know, passed on to him.
Yeah.
So I liked that aspect of it as well. But anyway.
Agreed.
Number four, let's hear it.
Okay, my number four. Hot take, Alex. Captain America Civil War.
The worst.
For the exact opposite reasons that you don't like it. I just feel like, how are you ever going to expect like a huge group of people to always agree with each other? Like, and being superheroes and having like levels of authority and having power, it makes sense that like nobody's gonna want to relinquish like their control over the decisions being made, you know? So like the fact that like, you know, there's a rift in the group and that like half of them are on one side and half the other side, and they're just trying to like, they're fighting for what they believe in, makes a lot of sense to me. And I just think it's a really good storyline. I love how they incorporated Ant-Man. I like how they introduced Peter Parker. I think it's fun. And yeah, at the end, I do agree with you entirely. At the end, the whole like Captain America, Bucky Barnes and Iron Man situation where like Iron Man's like, I was your friend. And like Captain America's just like, well, he's my friend too. Blah, whatever. I think that's so dumb. And I think this whole thing, this entire movie probably could have been avoided if Captain America was just a better communicator. If he would have just told Tony from the Stark, hey, I think that Bucky might have been involved, because he said he knew, like, I think he might have been involved, but like, I don't think it was at his own like volition. Like, I don't think he was like really like coherent of what was happening. He was being manipulated. I think if he was upfront with Tony from the beginning and like made him aware of this, it would have not been this outcome. Like, I don't think that Tony would have just like gone off and tried to kill Bucky, you know? So right. I just think that like Captain America as a communicator, and he's supposed to be like the captain of the group. Like, he's supposed to lead and like be the glue and be a good communicator. And I just feel like this is just such a good example of why he's not a good captain. I just don't like his character. The end. Yeah. Sorry, fight me about it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely in the sense of like, I think a lot of that could have been avoided if people would have just communicated a little bit more clearly with each other. I feel like that's, you know, what happens in, you know, 99% of movies actually just out there. It's like, if you would have just communicated with the other person, none of the things in the movie probably would have had to happen.
Yeah.
Seriously. I think you could say that for a lot of it. You know, I will say like, yeah, I understand that my want for them not to fight with each other is an unreasonable ask, because that's not ever something that's going to happen in real life. Like, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously that's just my preference, but also like, think about the collateral damage that's involved in this movie. Just kind of like, let's cripple Rhodey.
Oh, that scene is so brutal.
Like, permanently cripple him. Let's just, that sounds good, guys.
Yeah, that part is really brutal. And like, it's sad. It's sad because like, especially like at the end, like when they're on the floor and like Tony's trying to save him and he can't get to him soon enough. And then who is it? Falcon, is he the one that's there? And like, he's just like, hey, like, I'm sorry, like, you know, da da da. And like, Tony just like shoots him away.
Yeah,
like that part is so gut-wrenching to me, but like so real, because like, he's not trying to hurt him. It's just that they're trying to stand up for what they're believing in, and this is like exactly what you're saying, like collateral damage that happens. And when that like, you know, if you're in a fight with like your sibling, for example, and you punch them and you actually hurt them, you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, like no matter how angry you were, like you're like, are you okay? Are you okay? You know, I just feel like that's such a good, like authentic happening. I don't know. I just really liked it.
It's so funny because like, even in that comparison, like in my mind, I'm just kind of like, you just shouldn't have punched him. Cause like my, in my mind, cause like that's never something that my siblings would have done with each other. And that's neither here nor there, really. But like in my mind, it was kind of like, was it really worth, was the collateral damage really worth what you were trying to do? Like, I can 100%
No.
stand behind like fighting for what you believe in, absolutely. But going to those lengths that you have to pay that kind of price.
The answer is no, Alex. It's never worth it. It's never worth it if I punch my sister in the face. Am I going to do it if I'm angry? Yes. Like, it's never worth it, but I'm still going to do it.
All right, we need to move on from this conversation
Oh,
because
you're
that's
right.
like we're just never going to be able to agree on civil war, and that's fine. I
Okay,
totally understand that, like, I'm in the minority of people who just really hate that movie.
what's your number four?
Avengers Endgame.
Really? Okay.
Okay. So this is in the beginning of like, this is a really good movie. Like in the top four is like movies I'm just like, these are good. These are good movies. I placed it at the bottom of that though, all because of Tony.
It's sad.
So
Yeah.
here's the thing, it's like Endgame was a really necessary, thing, obviously, because, it just had to happen because it's part two to the, Last Avengers sort of deal.
Right.
But like you were so hungry in this movie from the moment where everyone comes back, where everyone's alive again. Like that moment where they're all like coming, like you could hear you just said his
Falcon
name. Yeah, you could hear Falcon on the comms and whatever.
on your
And then
left.
everyone starts pouring out of those like ring things, those reality ring things or whatever. It was a beautiful sight to just see everyone again and then just
Yeah.
feel like, well again.
Yeah.
The hole that was left in your heart from the last one is finally healing up because there's everyone that you care about. And
Yeah.
that's so like that was basically family to everyone else. So that was great. And getting to like see a lot of really cool moments, like how we talked about in the first Avengers where you're seeing everyone fight together for the first time. So this is a really cool one where you're seeing all the extended people fight together, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of collateral damage, there's a couple things in this movie that I just cannot deal with, which makes it, place low, but it's still good, but I can't rewatch it for
Okay.
these reasons. Gamora. I know that she comes back in a different way because of the past Gamora and whatever, and that's fine. But I hate that she had to die.
Yeah.
Which she might have died in the
She
first
died
one,
in
but
the first one.
well, anyway, still compounded for me in this one.
Sure.
So don't love that it's past Gamora that we're now dealing with who
Sure.
hasn't lived, through that period of time with Quill and the others. Like, I hate that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't deserve that. Like, his character doesn't deserve that.
Right.
And then Black Widow.
Yeah, that's just gut-wrenching.
Like
Absolutely.
watching her and Clint
Ah, the fighting, who gets to die?
duke it out to try to
Ugh.
save each other. I hated it so
It's
much because
brutal.
neither of them deserved to die. And I know that she, was making the sacrifice because he has a family and like all this whatever. And it's so noble, but it makes it so much worse
Yeah.
because it's kind of like these two people are best friends even. And they're just good through and through. And
I think something that makes it even worse, exactly what you're saying, is how the movie has set it up for you to see Clint as a fallen hero and Black Widow as like this person who's always trying to hold everyone together, the glue of the Avengers at this point, like always working towards what can we do next? What can we do like to save, the Earth? And so she's kind of the angel in the situation. He's kind of like that dark character now. And so you're like, well, who deserves to die, you know?
And even more than that, though, right, is like they have that past relationship of where times were reversed. And she was the one in that situation who, had so much that she had done that was horrible and whatever, and that Clint was really there for her. So she was able to be there for his redemption and be like, hey, you need to move forward now. And it's so gut-wrenching. I hate it so much. And then the most gut-wrenching of all is, of course, Tony Stark dying.
Obviously.
The father of this whole franchise, the one that started it all, dying after he finally just got reunited with Peter Parker.
I know. And
And he has a daughter now
I
too.
know. That's what I was gonna say. Like the whole scene where like Pepper goes to him and he's like, we're going to be okay. You can rest now. And then he dies and then she breaks down. I'm like, F this movie, dude. Like, I'm not here for this. I'm not here to see this. Yeah. Yeah, that part is just, that's next level.
Yeah, because I mean, just like, I mean, you would hope, I think people probably get to this moment at some point in your, in their lives. Hopefully it happens when you're older and not when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to a certain extent, like, it's a feeling that I can relate to, like seeing someone that you love who's like barely holding on and suffering,
mm-hmm.
and just being in the headspace of like, it's okay, you could rest now.
Yeah,
it's really, even if it's like at a particularly high cost, like emotional cost for you, like obviously, like, you just love the person enough where you're just kind of like, it's enough.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. The worst. But it's still good. It's just because of what it is. That's why it gets to rank so high for me, or else it would have ranked a lot lower.
Oh God.
But I cannot rewatch it.
Okay. I feel that. I respect it. All right. Okay. My number three, which is way higher than where you placed it, but Spider-Man Homecoming is my number three in this section. I love this movie. I think it's fantastic. I really, really loved Tom Holland's take on Spider-Man and how it's the most believable Spider-Man for me, that he's like in high school, he's discovered he has these abilities, and he's just kind of this friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And I think it's so realistic that like, he's just like, he got that taste of glory from like going and fighting with Iron Man in Civil War, that he's just like, that's consuming him, you know. He doesn't even care about school anymore. He's just like, no, I gotta be an Avenger, da 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 da. And then just kind of ultimately being brought back down to earth at the end, realizing that like, hey kid, like, you're at this point B team, like, you're not a full-grown Avenger. And the whole scene where the Vulture where the Vulture like collapses that building on him and leaves him there to die in essence. And you hear him like crying out like, hey, someone help me, I'm down here. Like, that part, I sobbed, because I was just like, talk about exactly what you were saying earlier, Alex, just kind of like, he's like a kid and how he's supposed to be this superhero, but like, you forget that like, he's still a teenager, you know? Mm-hmm. And it shows the innocence. It shows like him not being a fully developed superhero to like, you know, have those reactions where it's like, I have to save myself. No, he's like calling out for help. And then ultimately, you know, like getting himself out of the situation. It's just kind of like that level of innocence and like seeing him as not a fully grown, not a fully developed superhero yet, but like getting there,
mm-hmm.
is really enjoyable for me. And I just feel like this movie is just really good. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can get where you're coming from. It didn't do that much for me personally, but I can understand your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine. So my number three was Black Panther.
Yeah.
And actually, like, for a lot of the reasons that you said, like, I think that Killmonger is a really great villain.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably one of the best ones we've encountered in this franchise.
Yeah.
He has a lot of depth. And, like, you feel kind of bad at the end that he has to die.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's really complicated, especially since, you know, I feel like not all the circumstances of what made him a villain are kind of like his fault.
Yeah.
It just is really, it's a complicated thing. It was, but I really love the whole, I really like Black Panther as a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
He's really cool. I really love just like, you know, everything about this movie was just enjoyable to me. There was the right amount of humor. And like how you said, the soundtrack was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And the way that it incorporated into the movie was just like awesome. Like, it really created a really cool like ambiance and all that stuff.
Totally.
And it was just great. I love Shuri. Shuri's hilarious. Love her. I'm really interested, obviously, because, you know, we all know about Chadwick Boseman, and that's really unfortunate, especially, I mean, it just is. He was so young and gone through so much. And it kills me that, you know, it sucks when anyone that young
passes. Untimely death. Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how they handle the franchise going forward. Hopefully it's like, maybe Shuri gets a bigger role and that'd be kind of cool.
Well, like, Shuri's going to be the next Black Panther. That's already been released. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. Cause I think that's a really good move. I think that she's a really good character. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of that. So yeah, Black Panther was just a really great movie for me. I really enjoyed it.
I agree with everything. I mean, like I said, these last couple of movies, like they all really are right in there with each other. So I, if you would, you know, if you convinced me into it, I'd be like, yeah, sure, Black Panther number three also. So my number two is, and this one is arguably my most rewatchable movie out of any Avengers movie, but it's my number two because I have to have my number one. That's what my number one is.
Okay.
My number two is Doctor Strange.
Okay. I mean, okay. So I can agree in the sense that you say that it's your most rewatchable movie. So I can, since you said that, I'm just like, okay, sure. Yeah. Okay.
I love this movie. I think it's so good. With the exception of that opening scene where when he gets in the car crash and then he wakes up in the hospital and his
Yeah.
hands have the knee. I saw that scene one time in theater because I didn't know it was coming, and I've never seen that scene again because I close my eyes every single time. Because holy hell, that gives me the most anxiety I've ever had in my whole life. But other than that, I think that Doctor Strange's character is probably one of my all-time favorite Avengers characters. I think that his character development is phenomenal. I think he's a super strong hero. Like being a sorcerer, I'm like, you know, I'm excited to see where they go with his abilities to be a hero. I think that he was arguably one of the leading causes of the success in Endgame because he saw
Oh,
the various
for
features.
sure.
Yeah, and he was, you know, it could be argued that he was manipulating the events to make sure that they transpired in the way that they did.
Yeah.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch. I think that he as an actor is probably one of my favorite actors of all time.
He's very good.
I just have nothing but positive things to say about this movie. Rachel McAdams, glorious actress. I love her to pieces. It's just phenomenal. I think it's great. And Dormammu at the end is like scary looking and cool, and just the whole idea of manipulating time, very cool. I love it. I think it's fantastic through and through.
Yep, I agree. So my number two is actually Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
I love this movie.
I
It's
love it
just
too. Yeah.
because I mean we both agree that we love Thor, so there's that. So that already ranks it, you know, pretty high. But like, I just think it's a great movie. I really love Thor and the Hulk as a duo. Like that's really fun. And like as you pointed out, like Thor is at his hottest in this movie, like for
Absolutely.
sure. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing bad to say about it. It was great. I mean, it was goofy as all get out, but I really liked it. Like, I feel like, you know, they did it in a very classy way. Like, it didn't feel like super watered down sort of sequel. Like, it felt like a good way to round things out. I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. Don't have anything bad to say about it. But
I
anyway.
agree. I love that movie. Lastly, my number one, because how could it not be my number one, is Endgame. And I respect your reasoning, Alex, and the whole you can't rewatch it because it's very emotional, because I 100% agree. It is so emotional. But I don't know, it's emotional for me in a way that feels cathartic. Like, I feel like it's a nice little cherry on top of the sundae that is the Avengers as we know it. And I think what a more perfect way. Like, I don't think they could have ended it in a way that is better than Tony dying, because it's like Tony is the godfather of the Avengers, and his altruistic move, because it kind of goes back to the whole, like, what movie was it when, like, Captain America, I think it was the first Avenger, when Captain America was telling him, like, oh, like, you want to be the hero, but will you really be the guy who, like, lays down and let people, like, walk over you or whatever? And Tony's just like, I think I would just cut throat or whatever it was. You know what scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like this, like, perfect little, like, full circle. Tony was, you know, an a-hole at the beginning, but now it's like he is in this for the greater good. He literally came back, like, he did time traveling despite the fact that he knew that he would be, like, potentially putting his family at risk, you know, being that
Yeah.
he was lucky and he got his wife and kid in the deal. And I don't know, it just made a lot of sense to me that there wouldn't have been a better time for Tony to die than there. Like, I don't want to watch a world where Tony Stark dies because he has, like, cancer, you know, he's suffering.
Yeah.
I think no better way than for him to die in this flame of glory, saving the rest of the earth and the universe.
I can definitely respect your opinion on that for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, because like, as I said, like anything in my top four, like they're just all great movies.
Yeah.
I personally can't rewatch Endgame because it hurts too much.
Yeah, I get that.
But I do agree that just kind of like, that was a fantastic end for Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like that really gave him the respect that his character was due to like, ugh, you're right. You are right, for sure. I totally agree with your reasons. Oh, I just hate that it had to happen.
I know.
I know it's not at all realistic to want everyone to like live and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could have that, that'd be amazing.
I know. It's, yeah, like you said, it's painful, but I feel like the good feelings outweigh the bad for me because, yeah, it's super sad to watch him die, but it's super nice to see like everyone come back one. Like all the women, there's like a scene where all the women are fighting together. The scene where, you know, like Tony is reunited with Spider-Man, and just there's a lot of good feeling to it all that I feel like, although it's sad, it just makes the sad parts make sense to me.
Yeah.
So that's my number one. Give us your number one, Alex.
Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is my number one.
Love it. Love to hear it.
Because I think if I were basing it in a different way and like not necessarily like what I'd like to rewatch, then mm-hmm. I probably would say the Endgame is on the top just because, you know, that's how you end the book, man. That's how you mm-hmm. end that chapter, is how you did an Endgame. But I really enjoy the rewatchability and story of Doctor Strange for all the reasons that you said. Like Benedict mm-hmm. Cumberbatch is amazing. Rachel McAdams is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love Doctor Strange's character development. The Dormammu thing at the end was just hysterical. It's mm-hmm. so funny. It was just a fantastic movie. It was just good.
Yeah.
And he was instrumental in everything that came afterwards. Like he was he's the key that mm-hmm. you need in order for Endgame to end the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. It's just so good. And you know, since we came to the end of like the phase three rankings, we can really say like how incredible it was that Marvel was able to set up these movies in the way that they did.
Yeah.
Like just the planning that it took to get to basically Endgame
mm-hmm.
with all the characters that they had. Fantastic. You know, hats off to them. Well done. It was just very good. But yeah, Doctor Strange, it's a really good one. I'm always going to really like Doctor Strange.
How can you not like Doctor Strange? It is just, it's top tier of the Marvel movies. It's amazing. It's great.
I'm looking forward to the sequel, seeing what happens, you know, here.
The Multiverse of Madness. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be really good. I really like it.
Now some really quick, like reflections after we've gone through that all here to wrap it all up. Between your number one choices, Alex, between all the phases, which one is your overall favorite?
So my overall favorite between, let's list them out. So phase one, Iron Man was my top. Phase two, Guardians of the Galaxy is my top. And then phase three, Doctor Strange is my top. So the bottom of that would be Guardians of the Galaxy for obvious reasons, stacked up against, you know, Iron Man and Doctor Strange. No, you can't compare.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like between Doctor Strange and Iron Man, it's going to be the same sort of reasoning that you had for placing Endgame at the top, just because how can't you? Mm-hmm. It's going to be Iron Man for me.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I really love Doctor Strange, and I do,
mm-hmm.
you just have to give the proper, you know, recognition to the movie that started it all.
Yeah.
To me, I'm just kind of like, you got to love Iron Man, especially like the place like it had in my heart from watching it the first time when, you know, we were that young too.
Yeah.
Because that's been a while now that the movie's come out, and just kind of like, it was fantastic. It was a pioneer for that time.
I 100% agree with you. I think Iron Man is a fantastic movie. For me, mine out, phase one was Iron Man, phase two was Ant-Man, and phase three was Endgame. Going from the bottom, obviously I have to put Ant-Man at the bottom. If right. I didn't, I think you would riot. And then for the reason I exactly said, Endgame has to be my one, and Iron Man has to be my two. Because I just feel like I love Iron Man, don't get me wrong, but Endgame is just, it's just that perfect little bow to end my little journey through the Avengers universe. And I can't not put it at the top.
I can understand that. I can respect it. I can definitely respect it. All right. So our next little quick ranking here is out of all the worst ones, out of all the weakest ones in each phase, what do you think is the worst one?
Oh my God. Okay, so my worst in phase one was The Incredible Hulk. My worst in phase two was Avengers Age of Ultron. And my worst in phase three was Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And so going from best of those to the worst, Guardians of the Galaxy is the best because I think it's a good movie. Like I said before, the reason I put it so low is just because it's too painful for me to watch.
Yeah.
So that one's the best of the worst. And then second, oh God, this is such a hard toss-up. I think in terms of bad feelings, I'm gonna have to put Age of Ultron ultimate bottom and then Hulk second to worst. Because
Yeah.
I think I would, if someone was just like, hey, do you want to watch The Incredible Hulk? I'd be like, ugh, I guess. Versus if someone's like, you want to watch Age of Ultron? I'd be like, no. You know? So that's my reasoning. How about you?
Right, so my bottom for phase one was Incredible Hulk, like you. My bottom for phase two was Iron Man 3, and then my bottom for phase three was Civil War. So at applying that same logic, we're gonna apply the same logic. Let's see. I think okay, this might be a surprising one. I think I'd rather wa no. Yeah. I think I'd rather watch The Incredible Hulk than Iron Man 3.
Wow, okay.
Just because I think the one time I saw Iron Man 3 in theater was enough. Whereas,
So,
like, if The Incredible Hulk was like playing on TV and my dad put it on, I wouldn't walk out of the room.
Incredible Hulk is the best out of the three, you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Incredible Hulk, which is a hot take, and that's fine. But I think it could be pretty interchangeable for Iron Man 3. So it's like a close little competition there. So Iron Man 3 next. And then the worst one to me is Civil War.
That
But
is
that's
so
because I have
wild.
very personal feelings about it. But also, I think anyone who knows me shouldn't be surprised that I hate it so much.
That's life, BB. All
Yeah.
right, and then the last question we have, what is your favorite sequel, Alex?
I think ultimately my favorite sequel, let me just take a quick scan to see if I don't change my mind real quick. I think my favorite sequel is Thor Ragnarok.
I
I think that
100% agree with you.
it's a very solid movie for a sequel, especially a number three movie. Like number
Yes.
three in a series of movies, like that's pretty astounding that it did so well and that it was so likable. So yeah, Thor Ragnarok, it was a good one.
I cannot agree more. That's also my favorite sequel, like you said, especially because I love the first one. The second one I did not like. And then the third one coming back, and I was like, this is a great movie. That has to be my favorite sequel as well.
All right, well, so that brings us to the end of this little rankings thing. I will say, because we're on the precipice here of actually phase four of Marvel movies. And I have very complicating feelings about it, I have to say right now. I really do. Because I'm just kind of like, we're not going to have Iron Man anymore. We're not going to have Cap anymore. And
And
it
even though
feels
neither of us
weird.
like Captain, it's still like, he's an instrumental part of the series.
Yeah, like it's like how we were saying before, like how no one else can like play like these characters. It's just kind of like it's really weird not to see them anymore. And there's gonna be a lot of new stuff now that's gonna be in there. Like we have the Eternals coming up and like all these different other things. Like obviously we do have some sequels to movies that got introduced in phase three, but I'm really kind of nervous to see the future of Marvel in phase four just because I feel like Endgame was such a strong ending that I'm just kind of like, where are you gonna go after this? How do you hype it up to end game levels of, insanity? How can you do that to us again, even? I'm not sure I'm ready for that kind of stress.
We're gonna have to wait and see. I don't know. But
Yeah.
anyways, thanks guys for staying with us through this long journey through the Marvel Universe. We hope that you enjoyed it. Hit us up on Instagram if you disagree. But thanks guys. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Bye.